This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board's National Finance Committee of August 8, 2017. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of this committee. R. Paul Martin is the secretary. R. Paul, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Ted Aaron. Here. Sam Agarwal.
Present.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Nick Economidis.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Thornton. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay, that's eight. That's a quorum.
Thank you. I sent out a draft agenda, and just a short while ago, Chris Corey wanted another agenda. Chris, like to update the draft agenda with the item you proposed to discuss, the P&L statement as it relates to PFA, I believe.
Mayday, correct.
Yeah, and where would you put that on the copy of the draft?
I'll leave it to the discretion of the committee, closer to the top, I think, would be appropriate.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, one, I can barely hear you. I don't know if anybody else can hear you, but if you could make it a bit louder, that would be good. Two, somebody needs to make a motion to adopt the agenda, and we should read out your agenda that you want to put in, because others were suggesting different agendas earlier. So if somebody could read out the agenda, they want to make a motion to adopt.
Okay, let me read out the agenda then. First order was roll call, which we just did. A second item is
Sabrina is here.
Minutes for
hey, Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hey, how are you guys? How are you?
Good.
Okay. Item number three is a report from the CFO for 15 minutes. Item number four is a review of 2018 budgets, 30 minutes. Item number five is new business, 30 minutes, and the only thing so far under new motion by Ken Aaron on notable events report. And item number six is scheduled next meeting, 5 minutes. Item number seven is adjourned at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Can I propose an amendment?
Certainly, but I think we need a motion to adopt the agenda first before we could open discussion?
Yep.
Okay.
Motion to adopt. This is Nick Arena. It's a motion to adopt the agenda.
Thank you, Nick. Chris, you have an amendment you'd like to propose to the agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to insert the treasurer's report for KPFA either before or after the CFO report.
Well, you tell me.
I think after might flow a little bit better.
And how much time do you want to allot for that item?
Let's give me 10 minutes, but I'll probably only need about 5.
All right, so we'll add, instead of 3, in order not to screw up all the other numbers, let's make this 3B.
There you go.
We'll call the report from the CFO 3A, and 3B would be the, you think that's a bad practice, R. Paul, huh?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair? Alex, I can't hear you.
I'm listening, yes.
Yeah. Could I suggest we not do A's and B's? he wants to put it after the CFO report, right?
Correct.
So we'll just say after the CFO report. So after the CFO report for 10 minutes. Okay.
Yes. Okay, are there any objections to that amendment? Okay. Being that there's no objection, the amendment is approved. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Seeing that there are no objections to the agenda as amended, the agenda is now approved, and we go on to approval of minutes. R. Paul, do you have some minutes for us to approve?
Yes, I do. And I will move. I will move to approve the minutes of the July 25th, 2017 meeting.
Okay. Is there any discussion or objections to approving the minutes? Which July 27th meeting, right? Okay, seeing that there is no objection, minutes of the July 27th meeting are approved. Any other thing? Any under minutes?
That's all there is.
That's it. Okay. Okay, so we have 15 minutes for a report from our CFO, Sam Agarwal. Sam, you have the floor.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Alex. And I apologize. Actually, I'm not feeling well, so my voice may sound very nasal and hoarse. So I'll try my best to keep steady. So let me first share a bit of a good news, and that is very rare.
Sam, this is a point of personal privilege, I guess. My phone connection is very poor, so I'm going to get off the call for a minute and call back on another phone. But don't let me stop you. Just keep going in the meantime. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay. So, not a problem. So, let me first share a bit of a good news. That is, the audit for the fiscal year 15 has finished. Today, actually, between me and Regali and Associates, we finalized the final draft of the audited statements for fiscal year 15, and everything seems to be okay. So now the process would be that the auditors will work with the audit committee. I will not be part of that process, and once the audit committee approves the statements and the letter to management, then that is final, and then we can submit to California AG. You might remember that we have a deadline for August 27th. So right now, we are on track to do that, because our objective is that the week of 21st, I think, we should be able to comply with everything. And along with the audit statements, the two more very critical compliance matters that we also completed, and that is filing the income tax return. We call it Form 990. We had to file an amended return for fiscal year 15 and an estimated return for fiscal year 16. That is also overdue. So those both were also completed, and they will also be filed along the same time frame. So that's a major kind of achievement, I would say, that we have been able to accomplish in a very short time. And that is one critical compliance issue that was hanging over our heads. So you can imagine that the national office and the accounting team and the business managers of all stations, they were extraordinarily busy with this whole thing, and we have not been able to pay attention to many other things that are pending at this time. If I think the word may have already been spread around that the auditors have been appointed for 2 years, for fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16, for pension audits. That were also pending for last 2 years. And so we will just start preparing the statements and other information for them. We have not received a particular date, but that should also start pretty soon. So that is another critical compliance because our pension plan is considered delinquent in that, and we are subject to severe penalties. So hopefully in the next couple of months, I think that should be also behind us. Having said that, we have not been able to pay much attention to fiscal year 2018 budgets. And as you would recall that in my detailed assessment, which I had submitted somewhere in late June, I had reference to this timeline. Because of these critical matters, there was hardly any resources or time available for the budgets for 2018. So that we will take up now in about a week or so, as soon as we can just wrap our heads, finishing the leftovers of 2015. There's one important update that I also would like to give, and I cannot get into much details in an open meeting, but I think it will be important for the Finance Committee to know that during this audit, we discovered that there were many duplicate transactions that were entered in the system, which have to be cleaned up. These were entered from 2010 to 2015. Fortunately, they were not paid. So there was no fraud or there was no undue activity. It just so happened that the accounting person did not know how to handle rate plans, so they were lying there without any obligation to pay. So we cleaned up. When you will get the audit statements, you will see that there's a big audit adjustment. So I'm trying to explain that upfront, and that would be a major cleanup project that we will undertake during the next month or two. That so just to put in perspective, all those adjustments have been taken into account. Those are already appearing in the spreadsheets, but now we have to clean up the great claims, and that we will be undertaking in the next couple of months before we start preparing for 2016 audit. So that would be my kind of a summary report, but I'll then stay back if you have any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions for the CFO from anybody?
Paul?
For comments. Paul, go ahead.
Okay. What is it exactly that was found during the audit that's getting fixed now? So it is a process of Great Plains, how we process the invoices and how we apply the payments. People did not know the proper accounting method to enter the invoice, and then when the payment is made, it should be applied against that particular open invoice. Because of the lack of knowledge, some people entered the invoice again and paid the invoice separately. So the previous invoice was kept open, and it continued for a long time. This is one example that I can give, but there are this is a major cause of the problem, but there were many other instances where the expenses, where the transactions were duplicate, and that had to be cleaned up.
Okay,
I think I've heard about this from the...
Go ahead, Ken. Did you have a question?
Yeah, it's just a question. Is that a correction network-wise, or is it to a few stations or other business units, or is it just and then national office and its network line? What's the scope of that?
This is network wide, because especially people who have accounting background, if they can understand the big accounting packages, they have AP module that is separate than the general ledger package. And whenever you enter an invoice in the AP, that has to be handled separately. So this lack of training across the network was the reason for this problem. But national office, because it handles many complicated transactions of that kind, so it was a major problem for the national office.
Okay, one other thing. Congratulations on getting the audit done and the tax returns.
Thank you.
This is Nick Arena for the stack.
Thank you, Nick. I have a question myself, if I may. Sam, in going over the P&L statements, we saw some strange discrepancies, particularly about WBAI's rent payments where for the tower. Improper entries in Great Plains, is this related to that, or is that a separate issue?
So that is a separate issue. For sake of convenience, the accountant was accruing a certain rate every month. It was between 45,000 to 50,000, but the actual statement of account that it received was much higher because it included the late fee and the penalties and those things. So now what we have done in 2015, we have, because it's a known fact that there's a liability for a much higher amount, so we have trued up the statements to the statement that we have obtained from Empire State. So going forward, again, because we're talking about 2015, so there's a long stretch that we have to clean up and we have to account for the additional expenses. But going forward, we will increase the accrual rate to be the true rate that we are getting the statement from Empire State.
Well, actually, Sam, it wasn't just that discrepancy, but it was also the rather strange phenomenon that for the first 5 months of 2017, it appeared that we were only being billed for a small fraction of what we should have been billed for.
Yeah, so we were not accounting on the basis of the statement that we have been receiving from Empire State. It was in the hopes that probably there will be a settlement and we may not have to pay for the full amount of the finance charges and everything. But now, because we have to go through the audit, and the auditors will not accept anything less than what is claimed by the Empire State, so we have to account for that the same amount. The same thing is true for Democracy Now. Our statements and their statements match 100%. So if we have made any mistake, like you were talking about from January to June, it will all be now corrected, and it'll be reflected. The true amount, the full amount, will be reflected in the statements.
All right, thank you, Sam. I think Nick had a question.
Sure, Sam. I echo the congratulations. Tremendous amount of work in a very short period of time. Kudos to you and your team. Two quick questions. One, can you give us an update on where things stand, the facts you could provide in an open session around Empire State and about Democracy Now, the two biggest liabilities that we have? And then just secondly, will the auditors be issuing a clean audit or a going concern audit for us for 2015?
Discussing Empire State, we can only make very general statements. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, so thanks for that clarification. I will be very general because it's a litigation matter and I don't want to kind of violate those ethical principles. So the question there is that we have to accrue in our books the total liability, and whether we settle for a lesser amount of claim, that is kind of immaterial for the books of accounts, and that you will find in the statements that we have submitted. I again don't want to preempt the audit committee because those statements are still pending approval. But this is a general information that I can share with you. So with regards to the legal matters, we have a court date coming in October. I think that is also kind of shared widely that there was no settlement or no counteroffer given by them. So everything is a kind of a stalemate at this time. Nothing has been decided. So the matter is still ongoing. With respect to Democracy Now, no threat has been made against us. We have stopped accruing any rental payments from them. I think that was probably September of 2015. I don't remember exactly the date, but we have stopped accruing anything towards them. And they have also not accrued any charges. In fact, their auditors have confirmed the balance that we are showing that is exactly in their books. But there's no movement and there's no no lawsuit. Nothing is being threatened against us. And sorry, I forgot your second question.
It's Sam, thank you. It's regarding a going concern. Or are we getting a clean audit for 2015? And maybe premature to share that yet, but I was just curious.
Yeah, so those are also very important. And actually, I would hesitate to go into details about the going concern and those things because that the biggest problem in discussing this in open session is that. We are a consumer-oriented business, and immediately there's a backlash from the donors or from the listener support or from the vendors that we do business because nobody wants to kind of do business with a sinking ship. So those are very valid concerns, but I would rather leave it for a closed session discussion.
Thank you, Sam. Are there any other questions? Then I think we can...
Oh, this is Bill.
If there are no further questions or comments. Oh, okay, Bill, go ahead.
Not so much a question, but I'll just say I got, Doug Regalia, the auditor, emailed him several times and Sam and everything, and he was very complimentary to Sam Agarwal and, the accounting team because he said that, Regalia said they were very cooperative and very helpful in getting the information they needed, and they asked for a lot of information during the audit. And I know Sam and them worked really hard, put in many, many hours. And of course, business managers and other people helped also at each of the stations. So just want to thank everybody for all the work on this because it was an incredible amount of cleanup work that had to be done before the audit could even start because a lot of this had adequate attention for the last several years, even though this was for, again, FY15, there was still a lot of it not done. And we also have quite a bit of cleanup work still to do for FY16 before that audit can begin. But I just want to, thank Sam and all the accounting people for all the work they did. And Doug Regali also wanted to thank them.
I definitely would join you in that. And if I was in Berkeley, I'd buy all you guys a drink.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the it was a very hard work, especially because we had to complete the two returns also.
Yeah, right on. Kudos, Sam. Kudos. Appreciate you and all your patience. Thank you.
Uh, Okay. If there is no further comments or discussion on this item, we can move on to the next next item, which is a report from the KPFA treasurer relating to the P&L statement for KPFA. Chris, the floor
All right.
is yours.
Thanks, everyone. Yep. Thank you. All right. So generally, the news is, I think, pretty good for KPFA. The fiscal year through the end of May shows that revenues were ahead of budget by approximately 12%, or about $250,000. Expenses were also up. I'm open to discussing that if anybody's interested, by about 6%. The net result was that our deficit, which was at about $161,000 at this time last year, fell to $22,000, and that's on a that's including depreciation, which I actually don't see marked out in the spreadsheets that I obtained from Pacifica. Without depreciation, it looks like we actually generated a profit for the through the end of May. So KPFA has definitely been one of the stronger links in the chain, so I don't think any of this will be terribly surprising to anyone. But it was, I guess, a little bit better than expected, and that is a little bit surprising, although based on the current political climate, maybe not as surprising as it might have been. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Do you have any suggestion as to what was responsible for the positive balance at KPFA, and what other listening areas could learn from KPFA?
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I would attribute it to the political climate right now, but I honestly don't know whether it was directly related to any ongoing efforts on the part of KPFA to improve the top line. I only know that that happened. So I would have to inquire with management of the station in order to kind of ascertain what their feelings are about it. And I really haven't done that. I haven't talked to Quincy or Laura about what may have led to the increase in revenue, but it's definitely there. So whether that sustains through the year remains to be seen, but given that we're well over halfway through, I would suspect that it would.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions or comments on this item? Anybody want to comment? Any questions?
Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Thanks, Chris. And this is great to see the revenue up. I just want to caution, I don't want to pick on just you, but you know, revenues tend to be a little slower coming in during the summer, so usually the last 3 months of the fiscal year are usually the hardest for all of our stations. And that's a lot of times where things go negative.
Fall apart.
I also remember all the stations. I've been mentioning this to the GMs, but we need to be thinking ahead for not just barely breaking even, but we need to start creating some surpluses. We have a lot of debt to pay off. We have employee pension funds that we need to fund, and we have, you know, lots of other things that we need to pay for that have been accumulating over the years. So when we're planning for next year's budgets, I think we need to be looking to try to make a surplus. Not that we're going to be sucking away a lot of money. I'd like to eventually be able to have some reserves, but we have to get you know, serious about our debt and other various obligations.
Right. Yeah, there was something that I probably should have mentioned, and that's that the number that I gave was including, of course, the central services. So I know that some of the reports have kind of skirted around that particular issue, but that includes all outgoing central services stuff for KPFA. So and I also want to share your concern that, you know, breaking even isn't really where we want to be on this. So I'm going to dig deeper into some of these numbers and try and figure out where cuts can be made, if any can, and how revenues can be increased if they can, and just try and get a better feel for what the direction and robustness of these trends is moving forward, so that, you know, I can do my job better and answer questions better and be more reassuring than I can just by looking at a report.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Any other questions or comments? Okay, then let's move on to the next item on our agenda, and that's the beginning the review of budgets for fiscal 2018. I am only aware of one draft budget that's been submitted, and that's from WBAI. Does anybody else have a draft budget we could look at for 2018? Okay, the R. Paul Martin sent a copy of the WBI draft budget for 2018 to the National Finance Committee list, so I hope you all have a copy of it. I should add, however, that I do not believe this draft budget was approved by the local finance committee, and I don't even know if it was discussed by them. Maybe R. Paul can fill in some of those details. R. Paul, can you say something about this?
Yeah, of course it's not approved by anybody yet. It's a draft, and people want to see the draft, so I've sent it on. The local finance committee has gotten a PDF of this, and I'm hoping we can discuss it on this coming Thursday when we meet. And, of course, we will have to hope that the general manager shows up, because we can't discuss it very much if he's not there to explain bits of it to us.
Okay. Since it's a draft, I'm not sure how much detail we can go into in discussing this, but I thought it would be useful for some of the other stations who don't yet even have a draft, just to look at what a draft budget looks like, I guess. There are some assumptions in this budget about fundraising, and I think R. Paul, you had some questions about some of those assumptions.
Yes, in this,
look at the assumptions.
In these assumptions,
in the spreadsheet.
Say again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Say something.
It's on the assumptions.
You're questioning some of the assumptions.
Yes, on the assumptions tab in that document. There are difficulties here because it's projecting a rather higher set of more revenue. Basically, it's projecting more revenue, and it's very much like what happened for FY17, which was and FY16, where revenue projections didn't make it. They fell way short. And for instance, we also have the number of days that are being pitched in here. It's showing like FY17. The summer fund drive as coming in with 21 days and $315,000 for the summer-thon. And right now we are in day 22, which is more than day 21, of Tucson, and the number I have is 186. Call it 187. Call it 187,000 after 22 days, as opposed to the as opposed to 315 after 21 days. So right there, you can see where, you know, how is this going to work? My question is, how are we suddenly going to make significantly more money, more revenue on this? And I'll also point out that we're talking, the numbers I'm citing right here so far are just the tallies, and they're projecting 15,000 a day, the infamous daily tally. Right now, for the summer-thon that's going on right now, it's at about 8,500, which is, you know, more than half, but certainly nowhere near 15 a day. So, again, there's these numbers are just being thrown in, and I have a problem with how that's being thrown in there. It's really not the way we're supposed to be doing the budgeting for these things, and I have concerns about it. And there is also I also have questions about some of the other. I have problems with the fact that we now have the revenue broken out a bit more, but since we don't have P&Ls that show what we have done, it's very hard to compare those other revenues. So I think that's an issue too. But the major thing, of course, is most of the money comes in through the on-air fundraisers, and the projection for the on-air fundraiser does not bear a close resemblance to what we've been doing for the past number of years. So that's a problem. And, you know, you can ask management how they expect to do it, but I don't think they're going to have an answer.
Do you have a good estimate of what the daily tally has been in 2017? It's a little bit hard to tell from that assumptions page because I noticed there's one figure of 15,240, but that was for a one-day fundraiser, apparently.
Well,
and the others look like they're 10,000 something, 11,000 something, 13,000 something.
Well,
any
what I'm looking at
has been
for FY17. Yeah, the average has been low. I think on the May drive, if you want to wait a second, I can try and bring that up. But I think on the May drive, we were something like, good guessing, saying something like, I'm going to bring it right up and look at the spreadsheet. For the springthon, it was just under 10. Call it 10 a day. And it was, you know,
okay.
So it's 10 a day for May, for the May into June-thon, which went for 34 days. And the others are sort of like this, too, for the, let's see, that's the spring. What's the winter 17? The winter 17-thon. Oh, the winter 17-thon, they stopped giving figures after a while, so I can't really say. So, but it was, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we'll need to look deeper at some of these figures in the process of approving a budget.
Yeah,
Bill.
Anything else? Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe the winter one did do better per day. I don't know if it was because of Trump or whatever, but yeah, the other drives has not been doing well for WBAI, and I know this one is, or probably saying, I'm watching it every day, and it's, yeah, not good. Less than 9,000 on average per day, as our poll's talking about. And, you know, this is the fourth week they've added in this week, and these longer drives tend to make it worse per day.
Some of the other ones look like they were doing 13,000 a day or 14,000 a day. Others are 11,000
a day. The first one did better, the first one of this year, I know, and maybe the second one. This is, what, the fourth drive so far this year? Is that right, Paul?
Oh, you mean this fiscal year? Let's see. We've had the one, two.
Or is it the fifth one?
We had fall, December, winter, spring, summer. This is number five.
Yeah. So there's probably
not
a lot of donors.
Not counting a one-day one.
I'm also saying that the actual... Okay, Nick, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please go ahead. Okay, I just had a quick question for the, Willie, for the interim executive director. Yeah, I just had a quick question, I think, for the interim executive director. I wanted to ask if he's going to direct the general manager to attend the finance committee meeting for WBAI.
Yes. It's this Thursday, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Sam on the stack.
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I would like to make a quick comment about the budget because when I was talking to the auditors for completing the 2015 audit, they asked for the budget, the variance between budget and actuals. And then they looked at the actual statements. They said the budgets are unrealistic. They cannot make any meaningful sense because those budgets are not achieved. So they asked us to make a cash flow projection for the next 12 months. That would be more realistic if even the assumptions are right. But the broader point is that we have been making budgets which historically we have not been meeting. For at least two or three stations for sure. So I would recommend that we adopt a different plan or different approach for a review of budgets because it does not make any sense if we know for sure the historical trends are very different than what they're projecting in the budget. The other thing is that I did not get time to prepare some templates. I was thinking of making some standardized template which will have historical trends like what was the average collection per day and what was the duration of the fund drives, how many fund drives. So these are some yardsticks that we can use to project or to calculate the revenue for the next year. And that would be standard template across all the stations. The other thing is that what I would like to suggest, actually, and that would be a kind of a radical approach from the past, that even if we come up with the deficits in at least two or three stations, we should still consider those budgets because that is more realistic and that is what actually will happen. Now we can turn around and we can improve the financial condition, but then we have a measurable yardstick or an objective framework from where to go. Right now we are blindsided by budgets, which we know that will not materialize. There are so many other obligations, so many other debts that are not factored in the cash flow, like the pension obligations. So the whole budget exercise, I think, has to be looked into very carefully.
Ken to the sack.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Go ahead, Ken.
Ken to the stack. Okay. Yeah, well, I concur, obviously, with the...
Yes,
CFO.
I said, go ahead, Ken. You may speak.
All right, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Am I here? You're hearing me, Alex?
Yes. Yes, we
okay,
can
great.
Hear you.
So I concur, I'm sure, as we all do,
yes.
With the CFO. There was just one question for the CFO. Did he say that the audit was going to give us a new budget? Is that what you said? They're going to draft a budget that's realistic?
No,
or
that's not
or
what I said.
Gonna... Okay.
Please go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So I concur with everything you said. I was just going to ask, what's the normalized procedure if who's ever creating these fantasy budgets? And I hope they're getting paid by Disney Imagination or something, ImagineWorks or Pixel or somebody. They're certainly not based in reality. So they don't have that much value to us except to create false delusions of survivability. But the other comment I wanted to make is, when at 141 days of fund drive, we are exceeding commercial radio in terms of fund. If you say a percentage of they run commercials, and in radio, what percentage of our time do we have fundraising? We're getting very close to 50% of our air time is fundraising, which is that's not going to be too viable. It's like a shopping network. So we have to push that down, not up. And I also agree with Sam that it's better to have a realistic, if there's no to escape coming in at a deficit, then at least we should get an honest prediction of how bad that deficit is going to be. Because you have to face the truth in order to change it, change reality. You got to start with what is the real situation. So I concur with that, but my basic question is for those who've been more recent experience, what is the protocol for creating the budget? Does it come from the general manager, the business manager, the national office? Who originates the first draft before it goes to the LSB? Anybody who can answer that, Bill or
I could answer that.
Okay, there you go.
The general manager sometimes in consultation with the business manager of a station proposes a budget, because those are the people who have their hands on it on a day-to-day basis, so they're the only ones who can really say this is what the budget should be. So so that's how that works out. I guess that answers your question.
Thanks. Well, I'm not going to make any more comment. I'm talking too much. But I think that Sam has provided us with a reasonable way out of this, that if he makes some guidelines or templates that the general managers have to follow in generating a budget, we can start to come to some approach reality, getting closer and closer to reality then with our boss.
This is Bill.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, according to the budget timeline that the PNB approved back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe longer, I think it was longer, the LSBs are supposed to be, or their local budget committee are supposed to be meeting in the spring each year to come up with budget priorities, which mostly means things they may want to change from the current year budget, either ways of getting more revenue or spending changes, whatever. And then those are supposed to be worked into the draft budget by the general manager and business manager, as our Paul was saying. And ideally, that should happen by June or so, so that the LSBs could review them and approve them in July. But that hasn't happened with any of the stations. And part of the problem is because last year's budgets were never approved by the PNB, and they were all they're really, they had some problems, I guess. And then Sam was talking about we need to get somehow to realistic budgeting because it doesn't do any good to have a budget that's has imaginary revenue estimates or revenue estimates we may hope to achieve, but if we can't really do it, we can't keep spending according to a budget that looks balanced if the revenue isn't coming in the way we're projecting. It just means we're going to have deficits. Another thing we need to watch out for that I know some of the stations have had are neutralizing depreciation. You can't – depreciation is a real expense, and you can't just zero it out or cancel it out on a budget. It's going to appear on the income statement. It's going to appear on the audits. And if you don't include depreciation or if you cancel it out on the budget, it just guarantees you're going to have an additional deficit by at least that much by the end of the year. Some people get confused because depreciation is not cash flow, but you know it's a real expense. It basically means for capital purchases, you're just spreading out the cost over a period of years. It doesn't go away. It's just that you're spreading that out and you can't ignore it. So that's something to watch out for when you're planning, you know, your budgets for your stations.
Arthur Offer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Our Paul, go ahead.
Let me say that for years can you hear me? I hope so. For years, we've had pretty close to the same timeline, and it really has not been adhered to for quite a number of years. So, you know, basically, the timeline always says that by July 31st, the LSPs have finished with the budget and approved it, and it's sent on. Well, that just about never happens. I think for one or two stations, it happens some years, but it is rare for most stations. So I agree we need to do the budgets more realistically. The timeline needs to get more realistic, too. And on another item, if people want, I'm going to very fast here give you the total, the per days that the BAI on-air fundraisers. The fall con was about 10 to 50. The December one was about 11. The winter one was about 14, except we're missing the last 5 days, so I can't say for certain about the winter one completely there. And as I said, the current one is coming in at about, call it 85.
Thank you, Arpo. Let me just say that as far as the timeline goes, we are going to pass budgets this year, and if the LSBs do not do their part, we will, on the National Finance Committee, we will pass the budgets without the input of the LSB if we have to in order to have a viable budget that we can present to the Pacifica National Board. So I would urge all the local finance committees and the LSBs to get to work to get these budgets reviewed and approved, and if Sam has a template prepared or can have a template prepared that will assist in this process, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, when we are ready to actually discuss the approval of a budget, we will want to have either the general manager or the business manager of the station we're discussing on the call, so be aware of that. Is there anything else anybody want to say anything about this item?
Yes. Hi, this is Ken. I'm sorry. One more thing on the BAI budget. I just wanted to know, I couldn't find it just yet under expenses. What is the estimated cost for the rental of the tower? What tab is that on? like in the beginning?
Let me get to that. Budget FY 2018 tab, and that goes. You have a fast thing? Give me a second.
I think that's under
line 137.
Programming expenses.
It's line 137.
Uh huh. So we got it here at 50,000.
It's going at 50,000 budgeted for every time there, which again we've. Okay, you know, FY17 budget, looking at cell AC137. FY17 budget total for tower rent for the year is 588. FY18 budget for all of FY18 is 596. If you look at the lease, you will see rent does not only go up $8,000 for the year. So,
have to also add utilities to that. There's a utility power, which is
that's line 138.
Another item.
Right. That's something else. So
that's
Can't hear you, Alex. Okay.
Ken?
Yeah, I got it. 137 and 138. Yeah. And those numbers are more realistic now, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will say this, that the general manager was giving us a figure of approximately 55 last year. So exactly what that number is probably something that needs some research.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or items on this point? Okay. If there are no other questions, let's go on to the next agenda item, and that's new business. And so far under new business, we have a motion proposed by Ken Aaron. Ken, do you wish to read and explain your motion? Ken? Hello, Ken, are you there?
Ken, are you on mute?
We can't hear you, Ken. I don't know. I don't even know if he's on the call still. Well, the text of Ken's motion is in the draft agenda, and I could read it if Ken is not available, but I'm not going to try to motivate it.
Hi, I'm sorry.
Shall I read it?
Hello. Yes, hello. This is Ken. I'm sorry, just as I went to hit the mute button,
Ken, are you with us?
Connected myself.
Are you with us?
Yes, I'm there. I'm there now. I'm sorry about that.
Oh.
I hit the wrong button. So
okay.
I can motivate this.
Can you explain it? Or?
Yeah. Let me just pull it up.
You should make the motion and read it for the stream.
You want me to make the motion or motivate it?
Well, make the motion. You need to make the
motion.
Please.
Read your motion.
All right, here we go. Long motion. Notable events report. Whereas Pacifica Foundation governance and management have recently and often been caught unawares of extremely dangerous and or notably beneficial financial events and liabilities, whereas such lack of awareness has led to neglect of situations and events that then fester and grow due to added interest and penalties in the case of liabilities and unapproved expenditures in the case of endowments or donations. Therefore, the following procedure will be established to promote timely address by governance and management to major positive and or negative financial events.